Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Dan here from Heed the Call. You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
'Twas a cold winter's night, and without any heat, I wore Bombas socks so they'd warm up my feet. Yay, my feet cried. These socks are the best. So cushy and warm, I can finally rest. But don't rest, I said. There's more, if you please. Bombas also makes underwear, slippers, and tees. And for each thing you purchase, they donate one new to someone who needs it, so they're cozy too. Everybody deserves to feel good all the time. So gift Bombas this season. That's the end of this rhyme. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to Take Command, Logan Paulson and Grant Paulson. Time to get into the offense, which had a productive enough game against the Giants to garner the first win for Washington in 9 contests and in almost 11 weeks. It was only 58 plays of offense, but 5.9 per play with some explosives, just 3 for 11 on third down, 340 net yards. But the big key was the run game was as successful as we anticipated. This was the worst run defense in New York that has played in the league this year, dead last, 32 out of 32, and Washington took advantage with 145 on the ground. Bill looked very good, sharp, fast, was explosive, 18 for 96 and a touchdown. Mariota added 43 rushing chunks. He didn't have a big one, but it was long of 11, went for over 40, all-purpose, about 150 total yards on the ground. That was the key to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I went back and watched and took some notes, and the Giants did some kind of funky stuff, got into some difficult front spacings. They kind of brought a lot of eight-man surfaces and just made it tough. And I think it was a good job by Bill of kind of maximizing some muddy runs, guys kind of grinding through some unusual things. And again, they were the Giants were bringing a bunch of kind of pressures, like first down pressures to stop the run. Sometimes they misfit those. And again, it led to creases and gashes. So it was kind of this, it was funny to go back and watch, because it was like, oh, this is kind of a gross run, you know, but it goes for 5 yards. Oh, they kind of missed the target here, but it goes for 4. And so I do think there was some of that. And I do like when you look at the EPA per rush, it's like, you know, 0.153, which is not a great negative 1.53, which is not great. You know, it's like negative EPA is not where you want to be. But again, there's some some 4-minute offense in there that is going to make those numbers a little bit less efficient. And also there's the fumble, which again, or the two fumbles, which are going to lead to that negative EPA. But I really think you got to give a lot of credit to Bill for maximizing stuff and really just the whole blocking surface for just kind of grinding and gutting it out. Like, it, again, not always clean, a little bit messy. There's some free, like even on Bill's touchdown, that's a great example. Like there's a front side combination and the guard's a little bit loose. The center's a little bit short. There's a penetrator right up the field, right in Bill's face. He does a great job of kind of pressing it to the last possible second. The linebackers over pursue the corner and the nickel. Like they go with the RPO to the offensive right. He puts his foot in the down and foot in the ground and cuts up the field. Like he makes that go because he's really patient with the press, does a great job cutting back, and ends up being a touchdown. So there's a lot of stuff like that where you're like, oh, that's a free runner, but he makes a miss or the guy misfits the run. So run game, awesome. I loved what Marcus did. I think he brings such an element from that zone read perspective. He's got such a good feel for how to execute that. But yeah, I think there's if I'm the offensive line coach, I'm like, hey man, this was great. You know, we had over 100 yards rushing. Guys did a great job. We need to clean up some of these kind of targets, positions, angles on the double teams, but overall a productive day.
Thought it was the best we'd seen Bill since the Chargers way back at the start of October. By the way, just interestingly, he had 6 carries for 12 yards to the right, but went for 84 yards on 12 carries left of center. So they had something cooking on that side of the formation, at least. He's still one of the most productive players all season in runs outside of the tackle. Most yards per carry, 6.6, coming into this game, while recording the second highest missed tackle force rate, about 42%, on carries outside of tackle, minimum of 25 carries for backs this season. So the more they could get him the ball in space, the more interested I am in kind of seeing what that looks like. No, Chris Rodriguez was disappointing because I think he could have really leaned on this Giants team as a battering ram as well. But Bill took advantage of his opportunity. You've got to stay ready. He had fallen out of favor might be strong, but he'd been supplanted clearly in the pecking order by Rodriguez, and he was only getting a few carries here or there and wasn't able to really dig deep into his arsenal. But he bounced back in a big, big way. I mean, I think people forget early in the season like how excited we were about this player as a fan base, as a media, training camp, the preseason, and then even in the early regular year. He ripped off a 40-yard run against the Giants in week one, had that monster game against the Chargers. A month into the season, he was one of the highest rated efficient backs in the league, and it kind of all came crashing down. But you saw that again, and it's just clear to me, Logan, the juice, man. Like, he has a speed and a burst. He's got something that nobody else on the roster has, and you could see it in this game.
Yeah, and I also think his demise, his regression, whatever word you want to use there, comes when the offense is struggling bad, right? You know, all the receivers are banged up. There's no perimeter element. You kind of get the formula there to how to stop the Commanders, quote unquote, versus the Bears. They're playing 8-man boxes. They're running all these first down run stunts. You play the Cowboys the following week. They bring that same pitch, and it really ends up, you know, I think, decreasing the efficiency of the offense as a whole, but also the backs in general. So I think there's some context there in terms of, you know, why the regression middle of the season. And, you know, I said this on a different show, but I think it's important to acknowledge, like, the Giants are one of the worst run defenses in the NFL, right? So, like, I think the expectation was whoever was playing for the Commanders, because of how efficient and effective our run surface has been, you know, John Bates, Ben Sinnott, the offensive line has been throughout the season, that we were going to make some hay. And so it's good to see that he knew the pitch that was coming. He hit the pitch that was coming. He was still very efficient. I'd like to see him do it against defenses that are more sound. I'm not sure you're going to get that defense for the rest of the season because, again, Philly likes to play these light boxes. People have had some good success running the football against them the last couple of weeks. But I think on the whole, like, great job hitting the pitch you're supposed to hit against a defense that's been struggling. And, again, he showed some of the ability that you're talking about in terms of burst, change direction, and ability to run physically downhill. I think that was the other thing that jumped out rewatching the tape is, you know, there's that power that they run going to the low red. It's like two plays before his touchdown, and he just gets downhill behind his pads. Great job on the down block. I think Laramie Tunsil's doing the down block there. Chris Paul winds out the second level player. He hits it right down the A gap, and then nobody just wants to tackle him, and he pushes that pile for 5 yards. I think that was something that we didn't see a ton from him early on. So it was nice to see him kind of bring some of that physicality to the position.
Yeah, and in week 15, in a year where you've been eliminated, that's a seventh round rookie running back who ends up being the bell cow for your offense. So that's what I want to see here in December, is the kids getting these opportunities. Speaking of which, you just mentioned Ben Sinnott. We could talk about his day as a pass catcher, so I can complain about a couple things here in a second. But as a run blocker, Logan, I thought he was really good in this game. Going back and watching, so his snap count in this game was about he had 57% of the snaps. He ended up on the field for 35 plays. Again, they didn't run a ton. And he was only on the field for 11 passes. Remember, it was 10 completions, 19 attempts. So there's only like literally 10 routes that he ran on 11 pass plays that he was out there. But regardless, you'd have to tell me how you would grade him out all season. But like there were, I counted three plays where they were under center in legit power eye, where like he was a fullback. And I actually thought, like, even though that's all I want, like, I want more of that. I didn't think they did that cleanly. There were a couple plays where he kind of would run into the dude in front of him, or it wasn't clean. Having said that, I liked seeing it. I liked seeing him offset as a fullback, kind of that H-back role. But just generally in the game, I thought he made a difference in the run game. It was pretty noticeable to me.
I think that's been, like, his calling card all year. You know, he's talking about finding roles to make players confident. I think he's found a role kind of as this – move H-back type piece. And again, like when he was coming out, that's kind of the role that I personally envisioned from him. You know, he doesn't have the longest arms in the world. He's physical and explosive through his hips. Let's get him on the second level. So I think some of that stuff's been great. Like they ran like a little what I would call split. So basically he's in the dot, like in the eye behind the quarterback. It's 11 personnel and the offensive line's kind of going left. The tackle blocks out and he kind of runs up and inserts on the backer. The backer tries to wrong arm it. He does a great job kind of washing it down. Again, I'm super picky about run blocking technique. I probably want his hat on the inside number so he can really deny penetration there. But you see the physicality, you see the explosiveness, and I do think that's best use for him, right? Those guys that aren't super tall, super long, like think about the archetype for the position as being John Bates. One of the reasons he's successful is because the length that he brings in line. You're dealing with defensive linemen like Abdul Carter, like Burns, who have 34, 34 and a half inch arms, who are crazy quick and explosive. You need a certain size profile to compete with those guys. So I do think getting Sinnott in some of these move capacities and letting him use his explosiveness is going to be really advantageous. And it's something that they've kind of been doing throughout the year. So I think it kind of is a testament to the body of work that he's built to this point.
Now, this was the first game without Ertz, and my thought was, okay, well, we're at least going to get a look-see here at him in space catching the football a few times, and that did not happen. One target, one catch, and it was a good one, by the way, 36 yards. It was a hell of a catch. He, you know, kind of puts his foot in the ground and shows like he's going to break. The DB squats on it, safety coming up on an obvious, like, running situation, and then he takes off toward the post. And Mariota drops the ball in the bucket. He makes a nice run after catch, kind of staying up after contact. So a 36-yard grab for Ben Sinnott, which top of my head I would imagine is his longest of his career since his fake punt play.
I think
play.
He had the fake punt, right? How long was that?
That was 20-plus NFC Championship game. So this might be the most explosive play. But I talked to Jay Gruden about this yesterday. I want to get your thoughts. Is it unreasonable for me sitting at home to say, can we not just call one play for this guy? Now, they only completed 10 passes. They only threw it 19 times, so I'm not going to go overly hard in the paint. It's not like he dropped back 40 times and he had one target. But, like, why can't in a seat – you've already been eliminated, right? Like, why can't we treat this in, like, okay, we're going to run a tight end screen to Ben Sinnott to give him a chance. We're going to do this play where we go play action and we boot and he's running a quick out route in space in the flat and we're going to dump it down to him, see if he can run someone over. Like, there was no.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This message may be shocking to many millennials. If you are one, you might want to sit down. Right now, loads of people are searching the following on Depop. Low-rise jeans, halter top, velour tracksuit, puka shell necklace, disc belt. You likely placed these in the dark of your closet in 2004, never to be seen again. But if you can find it in yourself to dust them off, there are a lot of people who will give you money for them. Sell on Depop, where taste recognizes taste.
Emphasis on getting him the ball, or like designed play called for him, I would have lost all the money on that.
Yeah, when
do we start doing that?
So I'd probably push back like just a little bit. Again, like, you know, they didn't do a ton of drop back here, like in terms of the drop back efficiency wasn't great. But there's that play, I'm trying to remember the best way to characterize it. It ends up being like a Mariota scramble or Mariota throwaway. I don't remember the exact context, but they kind of run that bubble takeoff that they've run a ton this year, where the outside guy, Treylon Burks, I think, runs a post. He kind of goes out like he's blocking the flat player and then works up the sideline. And, you know, one of my kind of coaching points for Ben this year is I feel like he lacks a little bit of patience when he's running routes. Like, he's so excited to get the opportunity that he doesn't like let it marinate and sink in. And so on this play, great job, Ben. And even on the catch, we can talk about that more in a second. He really is patient. The corner bites up. He's able to get by. And so there's a play that they're calling for Ben Sinnott to get a touchdown. And he does a good job of running and executing the way that's supposed to. And it probably should be a touchdown. But there's a little bit of pressure from the left side of the offensive line. Mariota pulls it down. I forget whether he throws it or scrambles. But to me, like in a game where you're not getting a lot of pass opportunities, there is a play in the low red that should be a 35-yard touchdown for Ben. And we'd be celebrating, oh, man, he had two catches for 60 yards, and one of them was a touchdown. And I think the narrative changes a little bit around his day. There's also a play. There's the incompletion to Debo Samuel. Debo, right, yeah. Where the ball tips up in the air. They're running the little drive concept to the weak side.
He's wide open.
And he's open on the cross. And so, like, again, like, you go one, you say, I don't like it. You go to two to Ben. Like, he's pretty high in the progression there. So I don't think that this is an indictment of utilization. I think it's an important distinction in players, right? So, like, this offense is a spread – a third down is a spread-style offense where you have to have nuance at that Y and F positions. And Zach is the archetype for that, right? He's got the old basketball. His, like, the stem game is outstanding. So, like, the time from the release to when he gets the defender is probably best in the league. Him and Travis Kelce at the moment are elite. Ben is not that guy right now. Like, that takes a lot of time, takes a lot of natural intuition. And so he's not going to get those touches. Colston Yankoff's not going to get those touches, right? That has become a Debo Samuel element of the offense. Or, you know, Terry McLaurin got some of those targets, right? So I do think understanding, like, when we're throwing the football, how this offense wants to throw the football in those moments is a little bit different. And one of the things we've talked about with Ben from the jump, quite frankly, is he is going to be a kind of heavy formation, play action, use your vertical speed to create seams. And so on the last catch of the game, like, that's exactly what he does. He does a great job. It's a heavy play action look. It's a 4-minute situation. It's a dagger concept. So I don't even think he's really should be in the progression. That ball should probably be going to Debo. But he does such a good job slightly leaning out. You see the DB turn his hips. Great patience by him. Foot in the ground, cross his face, and catches this ball. Great job by Mariota seeing him. So I think you're seeing a progression. And when you see this progression from a young player like Ben, I think he'll get more opportunities. They're not going to be the same opportunities or the same volume as Zach Ertz just because of how the offense is constructed.
I don't think anybody thinks he should be getting Zach Ertz volume, but there is a gap between that and what I'm talking about, which everything you just said is correct. I just don't think it's that big of an ask to say, hey, how about two targets? You know, how about, like, you're right. So the play you pointed out is actually a really interesting point. The near touchdown where they called a play for him, so to speak, where he would have been the primary. So, like, give me a couple more of those. Give me something around the line of scrimmage that's safer and cleaner that you did. Like, get the ball in his hands on the first drive, right? You see this all the time with players. If I'm not – that someone's going to hear this and think I'm an idiot and comparing him to Ja'Marr Chase, okay? That is not what I'm doing. But if Zach Taylor wants to throw the ball to Ja'Marr Chase on the first drive, they just do it. And so my point is, you have four quarters of football, you have 60 offensive plays in the first week where Zach Ertz isn't out there, and your second round pick, who's got six catches in 2 years, gets his first opportunity to get some run. Like, I would have lost all of the money that he would have had one target and one catch in this game. And if he was a fifth round pick, then I don't think we would be having this conversation anyway, but he wasn't. And so that you just, it's, you know, at some point you just like to see him get more involved. Hopefully that's coming in the next couple of weeks.
Let me just say one thing on that real quick. So I think, yeah, I just went through all of his targets or all of his opportunities to run routes. And there are plays in here where I would say, like, there is a decent opportunity based on coverage where he should get the ball. Like, they run a keeper where he's running the flat. The Giants do a good job matching it. Not going to get the ball there, right? He runs a seam, gets a little bit gummed up with the blitzer, but he's wide open. Like, you're running all go special or smash, like, smashed by Traylon Burks, seen by number two. Like, you're in the progression. He's working your side, right? So the ball just isn't going his way. Those are the type of targets he's going to get for a while. He's going to get the keeper to the flat, the RPO to the flat. Like, he'll get some of that stuff. But I do think after looking through this, like, he was more involved than I initially thought. And I'm not saying that, like, to your point, like, you know, like, he's going to be catching 10 passes a game or anything like that. But I think there was an opportunity after rewatching it for him to catch four balls, right? Which is, you know, based on call. And in a game where the passing volume is so low, like, I think that's maybe more in line with what you want, what you're looking for. But again, like, these are moments, like the seam ball, for example, is a great example of, like, you as a receiver earning that opportunity with the quarterback. If that makes sense. Like, this is where, like, some of these touches that are just happening organically in the offense have to come because you've built trust and built equity with the guy throwing the football. And I think we'll be able to see that over the next couple of weeks.
Jalen Lane, punt return touchdown, had two punt returns of over 20 yards, monster game. The 63-yard score ended up, I thought, being the whole difference in the game. In fact, that end of half sequence, minute five to go, he scores a touchdown. Then they get the pick in the 55-yard return from Sandra Still. They score field goal there and steal three more points. So that was a nine-play swing in a game you win by eight right before the half. There's your ball game. First time in 31 years, by the way, they've had a punt returner return two punts for touchdowns. Seems like we could put Lane in Sharpie as the long-term answer as a punt returner. He can do it.
It does seem that way. And you just want a guy that can hurt you when you make a mistake in the punt game. And, you know, they kind of get out in this weird, you know, kind of rugby-style formation. And the punter should be kicking that ball outside the hash to the punting team's right, so the return team's left. If he kind of hooks it a little bit, Jalen catches it on the hash. And the way that when you kick a rugby ball like that, it comes out really flat. And I was talking to B. Mitch and Tan about it. He's like, oh, right when he kicked it, I knew we had a chance for a big return. So it's always fun talking to B because, like, he's got such good intuition about that stuff. But again, you catch the ball off of a flat kick with good distance and time. And in the past, that hasn't hurt teams, right? Because we've had a guy back there who maybe isn't as skilled as Jalen. But when you get a mistake like that in the special teams game and you have guys on the special teams blocking unit, like with, you know, you see Nick Ballor getting after people, Revo making a block, right? Ben Sinnott has a nice block. Ben Sinnott or Colson Yankov, I don't remember. But you get guys on like hats on hats, and then you get a guy who can make someone miss, like, this is exactly what we want as a returner. Great job. And he has the 20-yard return earlier in the game. So, yeah, man, he's very skilled, got a good feel for it, gets downhill quickly, and has the speed to kind of take it to the house, which is kind of a rare combination, the physical courage to get downhill coupled with the explosiveness to take it to the house. I think, to your point, like, he's going to be with the returner here for a couple of years for sure.
Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, take command. Let's take a look at the defense from a win over the Giants next.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.